Miami B from San Diego.
All right. Good evening, everyone. My name's Sammy, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 8th, 2013. I have a sponsor. His name is Robert B., and my home group is the University City Young People's Meeting on Wednesday nights. Pretty much, I'm just going to tell you about what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. I had, like, a relatively normal childhood. Like, both my parents worked. I had an older brother that picked on me. Like, nothing was too, like, out of the ordinary. The older I got, the more I started to notice my brother was drinking, like, all the time. And he was always fighting with my dad about something or another, usually about his drinking. And I always thought to myself, like, I didn't want to end up like him. And I moved around a little bit, and then we finally, like, settled down in, like, the suburbs of North County, and, like, I started going to elementary school there, and I don't know, it was just kind of normal. There wasn't, like, anything too tragic or anything. But, like, at the elementary school, like, I drank for the first time, smoked weed for the first time, and I still remember the first time I drank, like, really, really clearly. Obviously drank way too much, and I woke up the next morning and, like, projectile vomited this double chocolate chip frappuccino from Starbucks, and I told myself I was never doing that again. I kept smoking weed. I didn't drink for a couple more years, but like the end of middle school, beginning of high school, I started drinking regularly. It was like every weekend. By the time I'm smoking pot every day, I'm like dabbling around in other drugs, and it was like every 6 months, things got worse and worse and worse, and the progression was so subtle that it wasn't until I was 18 and I was engaging in a lot of criminal activity, I guess I could put it, and I realized I couldn't stop what I was doing. Like, I couldn't stop drinking, I couldn't stop using drugs, and I thought, like, for some reason, I had this idea in my head that if I can make it to 23, I'd be all right, like, I'd grow out of it or something. I don't know. It was just like towards the end, it was just super sad. Like, no one would hang out with me because they knew I was going to try and rob them or, like, burglarize their house later, or try and sleep with their girlfriend. And, like, but, like, I would just sit in my room and just watch reruns of Intervention, thinking, like, one day I'll get sober and, like, be a TV superstar from Intervention. That didn't happen. But on March 7th, 2013, I was driving my car. I was taking my girlfriend at the time. I don't even know where we were going, but I was driving her somewhere. I get, like, 2 miles from my house, and I get pulled over. It's, like, 7:30 in the morning. I'm blacked out. And the only thing I really remember is seeing taillights, or seeing the cop lights in my rearview mirror falling during the sobriety test, and then being in a holding cell. And anyways, long story short, they kept me there for like 8 hours and questioned me about a bunch of different stuff that they thought I was involved in. They ended up taking me to jail, and I remember sitting in jail and trying to, like, convince the nurse in jail that I need detox meds, and she wasn't having it. She definitely wasn't having it. But I stayed in jail for 6 days, got bailed out by my mom, like all other tough guys, and my dad wasn't having it. I called him. I said, "Dad, I'm in jail." He said, "Good. I hope you stay there." And I got bailed out at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 8 o'clock, I was in a detox or like an inpatient facility, and that's where like Alcoholics Anonymous was introduced to me. I didn't really want anything to do with it because I thought I just had a drug problem. So, because I still wanted to drink when I got out of detox. I figured, like all the drugs were my problem. Like, I can still, like, have a beer with my friends on the weekends. Like, I had just turned 19 years old. I'm like, I'm not even 21 yet. I can't be an alcoholic, and da-da-da-da-da. And I was telling this to all my to one of my counselors, and he flipped out on me. And he was telling me, like, all these funerals that he had gone to for kids under 25. Like, he'd gone, I don't even remember how many, but it was a lot within a 12-month period. And it scared me. Like, for some reason, like, I started believing people when I was in that inpatient rehab. And I got out of that rehab. I started doing their outpatient program, and they were like, go to 90 meetings in 90 days. So I started doing that. I was going to a meeting every day. Like, on Sundays, I would go to two, and I felt like nothing was getting better. Like, I got a sponsor. He's like, oh, well, you need a book. And I'm like, well, I don't have any money. He's like, all right, that's fine. Just, you'll get a book eventually. And I was like, wait, what? There's only two things that I remember from being a newcomer. Being in that inpatient facility and the H&I guy saying, I drank when I was sad, I drank when I was mad, and I drank when I was glad. And that's one thing that I, like, definitely identified with. And that was, like, the first indication that my emotions didn't really have much to do with why I drank. It was just I drank because I like to drink alcohol. I just like the effect produced by alcohol is what it really comes down to. And the other thing, I had, like, I think it was, like, 25 days or something, and the guy was like, if you don't have a book, steal one. And for the first time in Alcoholics Anonymous, someone spoke my language. So I stole the book from that meeting. And I started reading it. I had no idea what was going on. And like I said, like I was reading the book, but I wasn't understanding anything. I was going to meetings. I wasn't really talking to anyone. And like I felt like my life had gotten like 10 times worse. Like I was just super like messed up in the head. And I decided to sign up for this recovery home and stay there for 9 months. And like that's where like I got like a, I don't want to say a real sponsor, that's kind of rude, but I got a sponsor that was more available, and he sat down with me, he took me through the book, he explained like what it was talking about, and like as we went through the book, we went through the steps, and I don't know what happened through like that entire process or like where change occurred or whatever, like what actually worked and what didn't, but like I didn't really care. This is my first time in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know if this shit was going to work, but I was just hopeless. And I had no other options. Like, I couldn't go back to mom's. I couldn't go back to dad's. They would pay my rent at the recovery home, so I was like, all right, like, I guess I'll stay here. And but, like, taking my fourth step allowed me to learn a lot about, like, what upsets me and, like, how I am as a person. And like what, thank you, and stuff like that, and like how I like manipulate people and just like perpetually lie to people about like what's going on with me. And the ninth step allowed me to like write all my wrongs. Like I made amends to my parents first because I knew that was going to be the hardest. And that was like a huge turning point in my relationship with my parents. Both my parents trust me now. Like, I have a key to my mom's house. I never had a key to my mom's house when I was drinking or using. She's like, if I'm not home, you're not coming here, type of deal. And, but yeah, and then 10, 11, 12 just allowed me to maintain everything that I had gotten from doing 1 through 9. And, like, I stayed in that recovery room for 9 months. I finished my steps there. As soon as I got out, like, I tried getting sponsees, and I found out, like, finding sponsees is, like, a lot harder than it sounds. And, because, I don't know, I was the youngest one in jail, I was the youngest one in inpatient rehab, I was the youngest one at my recovery home, and I just didn't feel like people wanted, like, help from, like, a young person. So that kind of discouraged me a little bit. But when I was, like, 2.5 years sober, I got involved with this young people's committee, and I got around a lot more young people and talking to more young people and like young people that have been sober for like since they're like 15 and stuff like that. So it like kind of changed the dynamic of my sobriety. It's not really better or worse than it was, because like the first like 2.5 years of my sobriety, I hung out with like 30, 40, 50 year old dudes all the time. And there was nothing really wrong with that. I just wanted something different, and I found it in WIPA. But, like, I go to, like, all these, like, young people in AA events and stuff like that, and, like, just getting to know people, like, from all over the country that are just super on fire for AA and just super on fire for service and taking the steps and stuff like that. And, like, I never thought that I'd be able to find something like that when I got sober. And, like, today I just try and be, like, a relatively, like, normal, productive member of society. Like, I definitely don't steal or rob from people anymore because I don't want to go back to jail. And, I don't know, like, I go to school, I go to work, I hang out with friends, and, like, I don't know, like, I really, really enjoy my life. Like, never when I was, like, drinking or using did I think that I would ever want a normal life. Like, I figured I was going to die before I was 30 anyway, so I might as well just, like, do whatever I wanted. But AA gave me a second chance at something I thought I didn't want. And I don't know. I'm just super grateful for this program and all the people in it. Thank you very much.